the officers that come from the high priest to take Jesus, and how when he said, "I am he," it says they went backward and fell to the ground. He revealed his deity there, beautiful. And then last week we saw Peter deny the Lord as Jesus prophesied he would. But we got to see the end of the story where God restored Peter and then used Peter in an amazing way. But we were just reminded that we need to be careful. The devil's after us, and all of us have the potential to fail the Lord. But tonight, mixed in these verses that we've already looked at, we have where Jesus was bound and then brought before Annas and Caiaphas. And so we're going to learn something from this tonight. So we're just going to look at verses 12, 24, and 28, and then we're going to look at a lot of cross-references from other books. So here in John 18, verse 12, the Bible says, "Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him." And then down in verse 24, it says, "Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest." And then down in 28, "Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover." So I'm going to take my title from that verse, "Lest they should be defiled." Let's pray. Dear Lord, give us your wisdom, the Holy Spirit's help and presence as we look into your word. May we learn some things tonight that would help us serve you. Lord, may it truly change us. We are thankful for the privilege, and we give you the service. May you be glorified in it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So notice here in verse 12, the Bible says that the band and the captains and the officers took Jesus and they bound him. And then it said in verse 24 that Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest. So to get a bit more of what happened in between there, we need to go to Matthew chapter 26. And this is why we have four Gospels, because they complement each other. And God led one disciple to write about these events and another disciple to write about these events, and they all work together. So here in Matthew chapter 26, verse 59, it says, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." And then if you go to Mark chapter 14, we'll see more background information to help us. Mark chapter 14, verse 61. Mark 14, 61, so we'll be using our fingers a lot this evening to jump around. So Mark 14, 61, the Bible says, down to verse 65, "But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to buffet him and to say unto him, Prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands." And then one more, Luke 22, 65. So we'll have a peek at all four of the Gospels for this first trial, if you want to call it that, with Caiaphas. So Luke 22 in verse 65, the Bible says, "And many other things blasphemously spake they against him." So we've got Annas sending him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. And these events happened there while he was in front of Caiaphas. Then in between Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate, which we're going to look at next week, that's where Judas committed suicide. But that's not recorded in the Gospel of John. But it is recorded in some of the other Gospels. And so down in verse 28 of our passage we read, it says, "They led him from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment." So this is where this is now the third person he's going to stand before, and that's Pontius Pilate. So up to this point, it's been before Jews, but now he's going from there to be before the secular leader, the Roman leader, Pontius Pilate. And so to get a bit more background again, let's go to Matthew 27 this time, verses 1 and 2. And so from the garden, remember we saw then the beginning chapter, from the Garden of Gethsemane, they took him to Annas. Annas, the high priest, sent him to Caiaphas. He wasn't the high priest. He sent him before Caiaphas, the high priest. So it was all Jewish up to this point. And that's where they said he should die. And then they said, now we're going to take him to Pontius Pilate. Their motive there was, of course, because the Jews weren't allowed to execute the death penalty. The Romans didn't allow them to. So they wanted to get the Romans to execute the death penalty because they wanted Jesus dead, as we saw. And that's why they then took him to the Hall of Judgment. Notice Matthew 27, 1 and 2. It says, and when the morning was come, so now this is the next day. So the first two things that happened with Annas and Caiaphas were that night after they took him from the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember, it was nighttime already. Then he obviously waited in a cell or whatever overnight. And then the next morning, it says, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. So the first two, I'm going to call them mock trials because they weren't real, were before Jews. And then now they're leading him to the governor of the region, the Roman governor, which is Pontius Pilate. So they've already, as we saw, they already secretly bound him. They already sought false witnesses against him, as we read. They spit on him, they smote him, they mocked him, and now they've conspired to have him put to death. But did you notice in verse 28, it says, but just as John 18, 28, but they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. I've always found that phrase quite amazing, really, and very indicative of a problem that we often have, even as Christians, and that is we focus so much sometimes on the externals that we forget about the heart. I mean, here we have these Jewish leaders who were willing to bind an innocent man. They're willing to literally seek people to give false witness against Christ, knowing that it was false witness. They spit on him. This is the Son of God. They mocked him. They punched him. And then they dragged him to Pontius Pilate for the sole purpose that they might conspire that he would be killed. But they didn't want to go into the judgment hall because they might get defiled. So think about that. They know all these things that are sinful and wrong, but they didn't want to go into the judgment hall because they wanted to be able to take the Passovers, and if they would have gone into the judgment hall, it would have defiled them and they wouldn't have been allowed to have the Passover. And so that was more important than all these things that they've just done illegally to Jesus Christ and sinfully to the perfect Son of God. Of course, later, which we'll see, this same group, they chose a criminal over Jesus. Remember, they chose Barabbas, which you'll see. Then later on in the chapter, they're going to declare Caesar as their king, which they've wanted to be out from under Caesar for centuries. And then while he's on the cross, the chief priests are going to mock Jesus. So these are the same Jews that didn't want to go into the judgment hall lest they should be defiled. So their understanding of being defiled was obviously different than God's. Amen. They thought that, you know, as long as we stay out of the judgment hall, well, Pontius Pilate declares for Jesus to be crucified, then we're okay. We can take the Passover because we haven't been defiled. It's okay that we did all these other things to Jesus. And how often, you know, like they took and bound an innocent man, how often do Christians spread wrong information about innocent people? Titus 3:2 says to speak evil of no man. How often do they sought false witnesses? How often do Christians listen to and spread information about others that might not be true? God says in Proverbs 6, these six things that the Lord hate, a false witness that speaketh lies. It says they spit on him, they smote him, they mocked him. How often do Christians mistreat other Christians? Sadly, a lot. But God says we're to lay aside all malice and to treat each other with love. They conspired to have him put to death. How often do Christians conspire to get other Christians in trouble? Whereas the Bible says we're to recompense to no man evil for evil. Like I said, they're going to choose a criminal over Jesus. How often do Christians choose the world over Jesus? Where the Bible says, love not the world. They're going to declare Caesar as their king, not God. How often do Christians declare their flesh as their king and not God? The Bible says we're not to let sin reign in our mortal body. That word reign means to make it the king. And then the chief priests are going to mock him while he's on the cross. How often do Christians mock people, especially Christians, when they try to do right? But the Bible says that if we hate our brother, we have not the love of God in us. So it's just very amazing when you think about the thinking of these Jewish leaders that it's okay to abuse Jesus in all these ways, but just don't go into the judgment hall so you don't get defiled so you can take the Passover. Never mind all these sins that they've now committed against Christ. It's all about for them the externals. We can't go into the judgment hall. We can do all these things wrong. And as Jesus often said, what about the heart? What about the heart? That's what God cares about. That's what God's looking about is the heart. You know, when an unsaved person acts like this, we expect it because the devil's their father. But when a Christian acts like this, the Bible says it defiles God's temple. So let's look at that. 1 Corinthians 3:17. And we as God's children, we need to be careful that we're not like these Jews and think that it's all about what's on the outside. What defiles us isn't what's on the outside. And we're going to see Jesus tell us that directly. What defiles us is what's on the inside. And these Jews, they were already defiled. They've already abused Christ in many ways and done things that were illegal and wrong and against God's laws. But they didn't want to go into the judgment hall lest they should be defiled. 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. We are the temple of God. Amen. He lives in us. God says we are the temple of God. God says we're not to defile that temple. And again, what defiles the temple? We immediately start thinking about external things. Well, you better not smoke or drink because you'll defile the temple. And I'm not saying we should do those things, but what I'm saying is the internals defile us far more than the externals. And these Jews, they're already defiled. But all they cared about was we can't go into the judgment hall when they condemned Jesus to death because we need to be able to take the Passover. Otherwise, we'll get defiled. So let's look at what Jesus said in Mark chapter 7. In this passage, Mark 7:15-23, Jesus uses the word defile five times. And so if we want to learn about defilement, this is the passage here in Mark chapter 7. Verses 15-23. And let's see what Christ had to say about defilement. Since the Jews were so concerned about being defiled, we as Christians also should be careful because we were just told we're not to defile God's temple. So look what Jesus says, Mark chapter 7, verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. So right off, Jesus says, what you eat can't defile you. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he was entered into the house from the people. His disciples asked him concerning the parable. The disciples are confused now. Because remember, they've been listening to the Jewish law for their lifetime as well. And they've been hearing the Pharisees tell them, well, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this, or you'll get defiled. And now they're confused because Jesus said, stop worrying about that external stuff. That's not what defiles. Verse 18. And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats? And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's all about the heart. And then James, if you go to James chapter 3, says it's also about the tongue. The heart and the tongue. That's what defiles us. Not what clothes we wear, but our heart and our tongue. These Jews, all they cared about was external stuff. Even the Pharisee who went to pray at the temple, what did he say? God, I'm so thankful I'm not like these other men. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And Jesus said he didn't get anything, because it's about the heart. So here in James chapter 3, verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, look at this next phrase, that it defileth the whole body. So if we want to be concerned about defiling the temple, which we should, since God warned us not to, then our focus needs to be on our hearts and our tongue. That's what he tells us. If we can control our tongue, James tells us in this chapter, if we can control the tongue, we can control the whole body. And if we continue to work on the heart with the help of God's Word and the Holy Spirit, then we can avoid defilement. But if all of our focus is on the external, we're wasting our time. Now, as our heart gets changed, sometimes the external gets changed. And the Holy Spirit's very capable of doing that. It amazes me how many churches think it's their job to be the Holy Spirit and to say, well, don't do this, 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 and don't do this, 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 and this, because you'll get defiled. Well, are you saying that the Holy Spirit is not powerful enough to be able to tell them those things? If there are external things that need cleaned up or changed in a Christian's life, especially a baby Christian, you're saying the Holy Spirit isn't capable of revealing that to them? You have to do it for him because he needs your help? You see what I mean? The Holy Spirit doesn't need our help. He has the Word of God. He lives inside of Christians. He can handle this. And if there is some external thing that needs fixed, he'll fix it. We don't need to do it for him. We need to be focusing on our heart. And these Jews weren't cared about their hearts, were they? Here they are attacking, beating, spitting on, mocking an innocent man, and condemning an innocent man to death. And they're worried about external defilement. Talk about missing the point. And so we need to be careful that we don't miss the point. Amen? And be like these Jewish leaders. Because it only gets worse from here as we go further into the chapter. Especially when they have the choice between Barabbas and Jesus. And they say, oh, we'll take the murderer. We want him crucified. And then when Pilate says, but isn't he your king? And they say, we have no king but Caesar. Condemning themselves with their own words. Condemning the King of Kings to be crucified. So it says they wouldn't go into the judgment hall lest they should be defiled. They were extremely confused about defilement, weren't they? And sometimes Christians are as well. But Jesus cleared it up for us. Defilement comes from within. Comes out from our actions, which come from the heart, and it comes out through our mouth, through the tongue. If we can continue to work on the heart and work on the tongue, then we can avoid defilement of God's temple. The external stuff, God will take care of. It's actually quite minor compared to the heart and the tongue. So what a lesson, from these wicked Jewish leaders who nailed our Savior to a cross. Lest they should be defiled. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this short little